Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, how fun is it that God puts passions on all sorts of people's hearts to do really, really fun things? And you're going to find out about some amazing ones today, things that you can take part in. One of the first ones is that we've got Pastor Harry Neal with us with The Bridge in Kernersville. They are going to be celebrating the Passover 2018 with a Seder dinner next Friday. And we got Pastor Neal with us. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Robbie. Thanks for having me on today. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
It is so near and dear to my heart. If you have never been to a Seder dinner and seen how the Jews celebrate the Passover and got a sense of how it points to Christ, you've really missed out on something, how it points to the Last Supper. There's so much here, Pastor, that really it just makes, and I guess it's what the oldest event that's celebrated, or the oldest holiday of that's celebrated in the world, and to take part in it every year has just become a tradition of mine that I'm so excited to be with you guys this year.
3,500 years continuously being celebrated, that is the Passover. And so it's something that the Hebrews have celebrated for 3,500 years without stop. And so that it's very significant. And each point, our senior pastor is Pastor David McGee, and he reads and writes studies in the Hebrew. And so we get just the beauty of seeing how we've been grafted into this Jewish heritage and ancestry and get to be a part of this feast that we can see all these things being celebrated that long ago, 1,500 years before Jesus ever walked this earth, and each portion of this being able to point to him. It's just a magnificent study to be able to get into the Word of God and see why they do what they do and how it points to the Messiah, Jesus, who would eventually come and give his life as a ransom for each one of us.
And so we're going to be going all through that today. You're going to get a chance to find out. Of course, the dinner itself is Friday, March the 30th, and you can find out that's next Friday at 6:30, but you can find out about it at kingdompursuits.com. But next up, we have Gary Ingram with us. And Gary,
hi Robbie,
is with the Love and Truth Network, which I have just really blown away. I got to meet Gary at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and their ministry is for the sexually addicted. And for such a time as this, Gary, you've come to help us in a really difficult time.
Well, it's amazing, you know, how God will take our own brokenness and our own, in this case, sexual brokenness, and actually, you know, take us out of the ashes of that and make something that's useful, you know, really in his kingdom. And our focus actually is on equipping Christian leaders on how to develop environments that are both safe but also transformational for the masses of people dealing with pornography addiction and sexual abuse from their past that's never been dealt with, or even LGBT issues or struggles or attractions.
Yeah, and Gary's got quite a story along those lines. And I bet you if you're listening, Robbie, how does the Passover connect to sexual addiction? And then you're going to go, and then you've got this next guest who is actually Pastor John Steigerwalt, who is with the North Carolina Boys Academy. But John, you've got this Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory that we are so excited about. It's unbelievable. That's just opening up. Was it last weekend?
Well, actually, hey, Robbie, it is. It's opening not last weekend. Last weekend was a dry run, but today is our first day of operations. And it's an amazing adventure that families can take, and we're right here on Lake Hickory. It's quite magnificent. Beautiful.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever seen one of these treetop experiences and all the different ropes things that they have and the oh my, we're going to be talking a lot about it. But also there's quite a connection, and what a neat place God has given you guys there for the North Carolina Boys Academy right there on Lake Hickory, and now you have this wonderful adventure for people to take part in.
Yes, we have, you know, the academy located on a 13-acre peninsula right on Lake Hickory. And, you know, a couple of years ago, God started stirring us what we could do to utilize some of the property. We have a total of 30 acres. And we have these magnificent trees, you know, 50, 60, some, I even think some, I'm an arborist on campus. He thinks some of the trees are 80 to 100 years old. And, you know, the Lord just provided an idea for us. And we built this adventure park in the trees. It's quite different than a ropes course, because a ropes course is usually, the bridges are built on telephone poles. These platforms are built around the trees, and the bridges go from tree to tree. And so you're under the canopy of the tree, and we have a couple of zip lines. The course has, I think, about maybe 7 or 8, but we have one spectacular one that we call our Ultimate Challenge course, and that takes a guest across the lake on a 500-foot zip. So that's pretty incredible.
Well, as you might imagine, this is Kingdom Pursuit, so speaking of trees... Oh, I did have fun with this, John. When John started thinking of employees for Treetop Adventures, from what I understand, he was a sap for his branch managers. In fact, he was certainly relieved when there was no fallout from the insurance company's idea that he was out on a limb. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Some of the flatter trees, he had to use a lumberjack. You can get that later. Once raised, he took a bow and barked out new orders for this coming Palm Sunday. Where you could say that Jesus had them eating out of the palm of their hands. Now, with that said, can you name a woman you know in Jesus' family tree? If you can call in and tell us at 866-348-7884, name a woman that you know is in Jesus' family tree. Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win tickets to Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory.
Yeah, can you imagine what a value John has offered up here for us? For you to call in and tell us a woman in Jesus' family tree. One's kind of obvious, but you might not know the other. But there's several to pick from. All you have to do is call in and tell us. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Name a woman you know is in Jesus' family tree. You know, John, I had a lot of fun
pretty
putting
creative,
that.
Pretty creative, Robbie. Very creative.
But... you know, a big part of what goes on there on Lake Hickory is the North Carolina Boys Academy, and getting back to that so that people could see kind of the connection between Passover, which is critical, really, when you think about what you guys do, John, and what Gary does. But what, tell our listeners a little bit about the North Carolina Boys Academy for those who are not familiar with it.
Sure. So, North Carolina Boys Academy is a ministry of teen challenge. You know, it was the organization started by David Wilkerson back in 1958. And we have a program here that works with adolescent young men ages 13 to 17. It's a 15-month program. You know, these are boys that definitely need a mid-course correction in their life. And their parents reach out to us. They're in desperation. And they call us and begin to work through a process for placement here. And so they come and we work with them, we disciple them and help them to learn life skills and other kinds of skills that will help them as they grow into adulthood. And we work with moms and dads. You know, I think probably mom and dad go through about maybe 15 workshops that they complete, so that we're working with the entire family, not just the young man, but also with the family. Sometimes it's just the mom, sometimes it's just the dad, and but we're helping discover their destiny in Christ.
Wow, we've got to go to a break. We've got a couple people that believe they know some of the women in Jesus' family tree. And we'd love for you to call in and guess. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. We are so blessed to have such a wonderful group of people that have given us so many interesting things to work on and have fun with. First off, John Steierwalt. He's with the Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory, just opening up today, this amazing treetop course that's out on a beautiful setting there, something to take your family and plus at the same time get a chance to enjoy the North Carolina Boys Academy out there. Which, by the way, all these are at kingdompursuits.com. You can find out more about Gary Ingram and his Love and Truth Network for the sexually addicted. And, of course, the Bridge is going to be having Passover Seder dinner next Friday, March 30th, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are available there at kingdompursuits.com. So you, by all means, want to find out about that. But right now, if you're like me, you're wondering what woman was in Jesus' family tree. And we got several callers lined up. So we got Diane in Kernersville. But Diane, don't give us but one, because, you know, we want other people to have a chance to win some tickets, okay?
Yeah, I'm hoping one is Bathsheba.
You're exactly right. Isn't that
okay?
Now, this one's a little challenging for me. Now, Bathsheba was Solomon's mother. And the interesting thing is that you'll find her in one of the genealogies of Christ and not in the other. Did you ever think about that? And so one of those genealogies, I think most scholars would say, is Mary's genealogy, and the other is Joseph's genealogy. So that's one of the interesting ones. So you're exactly right, because
in the
Bible, it's right there. You got it. So God bless you. Okay. Thank you for... It's kind of a neat thing, the women that are in Jesus' family tree, don't you think?
A lot of ones you wouldn't imagine would be.
And the men, too, they shouldn't be in there either.
just goes to show you, we don't have to be perfect for God to use us.
That's right. Thank you, Diane. God bless you. I appreciate
you
calling in and winning.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have Adam, who has an answer for us. Adam, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hi.
What other women do you see in Jesus' family tree?
I got Rahab for you.
Oh, yeah. There's another one. And don't you just love the scarlet cord?
Mm-hmm.
That's such a story. Something to really, really think about. And so connected to David and so many other things, right?
Absolutely.
So what's your favorite part of the Rahab story, Adam?
I just love how she came alongside of God's people and just helped them in a powerful way that they could have never seen coming. And it was just how God used her to move in their lives. I just find that amazing.
Yeah, and it is amazing. It's more than amazing when you think about her being in the line of Christ as a result. And, you know, when you think about where she's from, they burned everything in that town. In fact, Achan got in a lot of trouble for not burning everything in that town. But yet, here was a woman in that town that was used for Jesus's genealogy. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Adam. God bless you. I appreciate you calling in today.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
You do.
We're going to enjoy that out there at the Treetop Adventure. So we got some other callers. We'll get to those in a few minutes, but I want to get back to to Gary with the Love and Truth Network. Gary, the Passover is an important part of what you do too, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's the reality of Christ's work in our life and the just his saving grace. I mean, it is what is the anchor. Or whether it's sexual sin or it's other areas of bondage or addiction, I mean, it's our source of life.
Right, because in your own life, and I was going to use that as sort of a segue for you to share your story of how, you know, God comforted you so you could comfort others, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though I grew up in a Christian home and in the church, even went to Bible college after bouncing around between public school, Christian school, and homeschooling, I just had a lot of, I was struggling secretly. I think some people knew about it, but I was struggling with same-sex attraction and didn't understand how it developed and didn't understand why God was, even though I prayed and prayed for him to take this away, you know, and originally thinking, oh, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be different. It was persistent. It was, it simply increased. And I felt like God was doing nothing to come alongside and help me. And I really became very embittered toward him and then just went off, fully went off into homosexuality out of Bible college, began bartending at a gay club a couple years later. And, and I just had a really wrong view, twisted view of who God actually was. I'd had a lot of truth poured into my life, but very little love or compassion alongside of that. And but God kept reaching out to me in his mercy and grace and walked alongside of me in all of that brokenness, where I was expecting him every night to kill me on my way home from the bar. That's how I viewed him. It was really, as Romans talks about, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And I was shocked by the kindness of the Lord. And kindness is not license for sin, which is where a lot of churches are going today. But that incredible mercy and kindness that drew me out of that place was salvation. You know, it was the blood over the doorpost that that really redeemed me.
And so, you know, that's the, you know, I have a daughter. She's like, Dad, they're, people are born that way. They can't help it. And what would you say to her?
Well, that certainly has become the perceived view today. And I think that largely that there are a lot of reasons for that. But part of it is that the church has not done a great job of really telling the narrative of people's lives who have been rescued from a variety. The church just avoids the topic of sexual struggle entirely. And yet statistics show that, you know, half of our Christian guys or more are dealing with a pornography issue. And a significant number of women and a lot of Christian leaders are dealing with pornography or sexual bondage issues. And so we're avoiding it and leaving this void for the culture to fill in. And so, yes, the perceived view is that people are born this way. My perspective on that is I don't think that that actually is accurate. I mean, I've had too many conversations with hundreds of people that have that are on a journey out of homosexuality. And while everyone's story is unique from each one, from another, the truth is there are many themes that are similar. And those themes connect with environmental development more than biology. So I'm not saying that there aren't some maybe predispositions in some way, but certainly I don't think that any of it is determinative. But our environments play a huge role through our developmental years of the direction that we go in. And again, our ministry is focused on sexual brokenness, not just LGBT.
And so, Pastor Neil, I guess I could ask my daughter, do you think I was born addicted to looking at pornography? Because obviously that's, you know, people that know my story know I've struggled with that in my life, and so was that. And we all have our addictions, don't we, Pastor?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing about it is I so appreciate Gary's ministry because, you know, dealing with sometimes young adults and counseling, you know, one thing that is needed to be said and to be shared is that if we've broken the law in one place, we've broken it in all. So where somebody sees as homosexual sin, is it more heavy than just a lie? But the reality is God sees it all the same in his own eyes. And so we need to be, you know, understanding and love those individuals instead of, you know, bashing them and building that bridge.
And John, you are obviously you've got all these young men out there and you're walking in all that stuff, especially in this culture with cell phones and all that's going on.
Yeah, we are. I mean, a lot of the young men come to us. They either have a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, or certainly abuse in those areas. And, you know, this generation of young people have access to internet pornography, and many of them have been overexposed to that. So helping them work through that You know, addiction develops not because someone wakes up and says, you know what, I'm going to become an addict today. There's definitely a progression in it where there's an experimentation phase, and then they move through a progression to the point when they can no longer choose not to use. And so, you know, hearing the gospel and God's great love for us is the key for individuals first to get to a place where, you know, one of your guests already mentioned, you know, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And we see that with these young men here. And fortunately, you know, they don't have to walk in addiction, you know, for, you know, sometimes people are 20, 30 years in it. They can get to a place where, you know, they realize, all right, so God's ordained sex for marriage, and we teach them that, as well as helping them overcome their addictions.
And in your case, they get to walk in the treetops, because I've been out there when these guys were working on the course.
Yeah, they do.
And what an amazing adventure for these guys to put them on a godly adventure.
Yeah. I mean, that's it right there. You know, John Eldridge talks about the adventure, right, as one of the three core movements. So, and that's why part of the reason why we developed it. We developed it because we, you know, teen challenges around the world are having to learn how to develop micro enterprises in their context so they can reach more people and be able to, subsidize it. So that's why we started the program. And last week, we had parents here with their sons.
Oh, we got to go to a break, John. I'm sorry you can't hear that in the background. But when we come back, we're going to hear more from Gary on his Love and Truth Network, more about the upcoming Seder and, of course, Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we are so blessed with so many different passions. And so wonderful that we have Pastor Neil here with us with the Bridge in Kernersville. They have Passover 2018, a Seder dinner coming up. Passover Seder, as the Jews celebrated, it's next Friday, March 30th at 6:30 p.m. There's one little alter to how they celebrate to that, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then we have Gary Ingram with the Love and Truth Network for the Sexually Addicted, and what a wonderful ministry he has, as well as John Starwalt with Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory, opening up today, but also with the North Carolina Boys Academy that's there. And Pastor Neil, as we look at that upcoming Seder, which is so instrumental in what we're talking about, but by the same token, the Jews do it one little bit different than you're going to be doing it on Friday night, right?
You said the Jews do it a little differently. I'm sorry, I missed your question.
Yeah, when they celebrate the Passover, they don't use lamb anymore, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I was actually speaking to a Jewish lady that's actually going to be celebrating the Passover with us this coming up Friday. And she had called in, found out that we were doing the Passover, and she was from a certain sect of Jews, and she paid for this huge DNA test, and she can trace her lineage back to King David himself, and her group or her family doesn't do the Passover lamb, they do roast. And a lot of the reason why is because they don't believe that the Messiah has came yet. And so she received Christ over 40 years ago, and so now, just in tradition base, still does not use lamb for her Passover just because of tradition, but believes in the Messiah. And so the difference between that is the Messiah, Jesus, you know, the Passover lamb.
It's a cool thing that when you look at, if you go on the internet, you want to see something interesting, look at a Seder plate, which we're going to have those there at the Bridge. You're going to get a chance to see exactly the way that the Jews do this. And you know that the Jews are big on customs. And so they have a certain way that they lay that out, and they're going to put a bone for the lamb there, but they want, you know, they eat chicken and that kind of thing. But it's more than fascinating to me that if you were to ask the Jews, I've asked about it, why they didn't take lamb. They say that they're waiting on the temple to be rebuilt. And it's an interesting thing, don't you think, Pastor, that Jesus is the temple, right?
Yeah. In 70 A.D., when the temple was destroyed, you are right. A rabbi came out, said, hey, we no longer, only the lamb is offered for sacrifices within the temple. So no temple, no lamb. So you are 100% correct on that. And they are so, you can tell, you know, me and you talking the other day, they wrote the book of Chronicles with the genealogies and how just precise that they are in things. And so, which leads to a good thing. The fact that they're so precise shows, and, you know, Exodus 12 talks about, the lamb being slaughtered on the first Passover without a broken bone, you know? And why is that important? Because in John 19, as Jesus is on the cross, they don't break his bones because they believe that he's already passed away. So a fulfillment of something that was celebrated 1,500 years before Jesus, and then him on the cross with no broken bone as our lamb sacrificed for us, and which is an amazing thing if you think about it.
There are so many things, and you're right, that they have a point-by-point way that they do this, and if you've never attended one, you have missed out on a big part of understanding the Last Supper, a big part of understanding Easter, because it was all in the same season, and how cool is it that this Good Friday just happens to line up this year with that event. But getting back to Gary, and what the real significance of Passover is his freedom. In fact, if you look at many people, there it's called a Haggadah that they use to set up their Seder supper, that the order of things are supposed to be on a Haggadah. You know what they say? It's a freedom Seder, Gary. And freedom's a big part,
right,
of what it is, that the utter relief of holiness.
Well, sure, absolutely. And I mean, what that makes me think of, Robbie, as you say that, is just the tragedy that we're running into a number of churches as we're out ministering and reaching out to Christian leaders that, I mean, many, many years ago, it just seemed like so many churches just didn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, certainly not anyone dealing with homosexuality or those kinds of things. And so there was just a lot of, the door was really shut. Freedom wasn't being offered. People were just being shunned or ignored. And now, unfortunately, churches, well, it's good that they don't want to be like that, but unfortunately, the pendulum is swinging so far in the other direction that what is being called freedom is really licensed. And it grieved me for the number of really solid churches that once were solid or rooted in truth, that are now really watering down the gospel and minimizing the value of freedom and the way in which Christ can transform our lives. My wife and I are married. Both of us come out of homosexual histories. We still deal with some same-sex attraction, but we're not under the bondage of it. You know, we're able, like everybody else on the planet, we have desires that need to be brought into subjection and under the authority of Christ, but that is where the freedom lies, in our ability to say no to once dominated our lives.
Now, I went to a luncheon that was with Focus on the Family this week for pastors in the area, and Jim Daly spoke, and he was talking about he went to a lunch with somebody that was, I guess, one of the heads of the LGBT movement that were, you know, wanting to, you know, essentially squash Focus on the Family, whatever. And when he met for the lunch, they thought that, you know, Jim was going to want to, in fact, I think he looked at him and said, I know you probably want to kill me. And Jim said, whoa, wait. He said, no, I understand that God loves you every bit as much as he loves me. And he said that the other man started to cry. And he said, I never, ever thought somebody from Focus on the Family would say to me that God loved me.
Right.
What a powerful thing.
Yeah. Many people have been deeply wounded by the church, or have friends that have been deeply wounded by the church, and have a perception that the church does hate them. And unfortunately, and a number of years ago, frankly, that would have been true of a number of Christians. I think that has really diminished, and people really are seeing, you know, the LGBT struggle as something that is it just simply another expression of brokenness, just like what they're dealing with in their own lives and what they have to surrender to Christ?
And John, there at the North Carolina Boys Academy, isn't that often the case for those guys, is they didn't feel like God loved them?
Yeah, many of them, you know, have come from homes where, you know, their perspective of God was more of maybe judgmental and, you know, very legalistic. And I think the key point you said it, Robbie, in the story was that, you know, God's love is amazing. John 3:16 is such a common verse for many of us who've been with the Lord for so many years. But for a person hearing that for the very first time, or the reality of that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave, you know, the idea of love and giving so that he would not condemn the world. I mean, that's the message that needs to be preached foremost, first and foremost. And that's the message of Easter, too. It's God's redemption. It's the kindness of God that leads us to a place of repentance. And, you know, when you're interacting with these young men, as we interact with them, it's relational. It's got to be relational. I mean, you can tell people that you love them, but until, you know, you do life with them and they see your faith being lived out in our context here, because we live on campus, you know, and that's what really reaches the young man.
And Gary and John, we do these John Eldridge boot camps, as John knows very well, and we've got one coming up in April, and often, you know, all the guys come from the North Carolina Boys Academy. Well, one of the most powerful things I've ever seen at a boot camp was we had a question and answer session at the last boot camp, and here's all these young guys that are struggling with whatever they're struggling with, and some of the other parents looked at the guys. They didn't answer, you know, they didn't ask us that were leading the boot camp. They asked the guys from the North Carolina Boys Academy, you know, tell us how we can parent our children so that they don't end up where you are. You know, wow. is essentially what they were saying. They said it nicer than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But their powerful. Answer so was powerful. Phenomenally powerful, Gary. And I would love for you to speak to it, because what these boys said was essentially, I know we keep pushing you off, but keep coming, keep loving on us, get involved in our lives, stay connected to us, in spite of the fact that we keep pushing your way, keep coming.
Right. Right.
Gary.
Well, that's a great statement. Well, first of all, I so appreciate what John is sharing with what they're doing. And frankly, I'm jealous of what's going on there today. And I'm stuck here in Arizona. I'd much rather be there up in the treetops. But I also love the fact that you guys are connecting with what John Eldridge, you know, has been doing. And the idea that it's based in relationship, and what kids oftentimes go through is with parents that are either too busy or disconnected or kind of caught up in their own thing, or the product of divorce and the separation that's happened, is kids defensively detach from their same-sex parent or sometimes both parents. And it can be really difficult when they've done that. There really is a pushing away from particularly the same-sex parent, and boys that desperately need their dads but have disconnected from them because it's too painful to desire a connection with your dad, and for him to either be too busy or to be just caught up in his own stuff over and over again. And when dads start to wake up and realize that's the case.
Oh, I hate Gary. We got to go to a break.
Disconnected.
When we come back, we're going to have so much more on Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we have so much, that God is doing in this area. And actually all over the country that we've been talking about today, we have Pastor Harry Neal with The Bridge, their Passover 2018 Seder dinner coming March 30th at 6:30 p.m. John Steigerwald with Treetop Adventures on Lake Hickory that's opening today, this wonderful course. That's more than amazing. It's opening up today. And what a thing to think about this spring, to take your family on an adventure on Lake Hickory. It's not all that far. It's just kind of between Statesville and Hickory, where this is on Lake Hickory. And then Gary Ingram with the Love and Truth Network for the Sexually Addicted. And I need to point out that all this is at kingdompursuits.com. You can order your tickets for the Seder dinner, which you're going to want to do, because believe me, you have never eaten matzah until you've eaten matzah at the Bridge, because they have a way that they cook it in the pizza oven that I'm just making my mouth water just thinking about it. And the way that Pastor David puts it is, he said, you got to be ready to do some sport eating, because you can't let any of this lamb go until it, because, you know, there's curses that happen if the lamb doesn't get eaten, you know, before it's all gone.
The lamb has to go. It has to go.
But before we get to that, I know, Pastor, it had to be touching your heart, the conversation right at the end of the last segment when we were talking about those young men. And I was wondering your thoughts on that subject before we turn to the Seder.
You know, they put it really well. And you know, just the reality is we're coming into a generation that is further away from Christ than ever. And the enemy, the reality is, if we think that there's not an enemy, we're just wrong. But the enemy of our souls wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and just wants to derail us from that identity being wonderfully and fearfully made in the Lord. And so just coming back to that and realizing it's about Jesus and who Jesus says that we are helps in this situation. It's so good to see these ministries pouring into this next generation and sharing those truths with them and putting it all back on Jesus, because that's where it belongs. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah, which is what the Seder is really pointing to in so many marvelous ways. And, you know, I would be shocked. It's a 3-hour event at least that we're talking about, and it starts at 6:30. But if you don't walk out of there just going, oh, my word, I saw Jesus in new ways that I've never seen him before. Plus, I enjoyed this meal. Like, I didn't think, you know, bitter herbs could ever taste so good.
That's right. You know, there may be some listeners listening right now that may think, well, I'm not Jewish, so why would I ever celebrate a Passover? This was something that was instituted 3,500 years ago. Well, we're grafted in according to Romans 11, and so we all celebrate this. Because of being grafted in, and because, you know, I know another confusing thing is are we celebrating a Passover after a Passover? We're observing the original Passover. There's only one, and that was the original one that we read about in the book of Exodus.
It is so cool. And have I made your mouth water, John? Are you getting hungry for matzah?
Very, very much so. Very much so.
And so when you take communion, It's so significant, isn't it, John, that what the Passover is to that?
It is. It really is. You know, I experienced the Passover. My mom lives in Asheville. A couple years ago, she invited me out, and you know, I'd never been one before. And it's very educational. And man, the light bulb just came on, especially when they talked about, you know, Christ and seeing Christ in the Passover. Really, quite a phenomenal experience I had.
It really is. And so, you know, what a neat time that they could go out to the Treetop Adventure today. It's not snowing that hard in Hickory right now, is it?
No, it's not. The course is open. It's yeah, a call for some snow. We got a light rain. We actually have a group coming in. They schedule about 1 o'clock, so they're coming in, and hopefully it will stop raining. But hey, we'll be open on weekends now until May 24th, when we Memorial Day weekend. Then we're open up every day, 7 days a week. Sunday we open at 1 to 5, but we will be open the week of Easter. The kids here in Catawba County and Hickory and Conover, they're off that week, so we're going to be open during the week too. So visit our website, treetopalh.org, gives you all the information there. And also, if anybody has any questions, they give us a call.
Yeah, you guys have three courses. You have one I guess for beginners,
yeah,
and for medium. And then if you just want to take on the, how long is it across Lake Erie? 300, what?
500 feet. Yeah. So there's a youth course that has there's a youth track, which has two courses, A and B. And then the adult, the Treetop Challenge for adults has A, B, and C. And then the ultimate challenge includes A, B, and C, but then it takes that zip across the lake about 500 feet. There's like a rock climbing wall and then another zip back to to the area where the courses end. But really great opportunity. You got to figure, gosh, arrive maybe 30 minutes ahead of time, and you got to get geared up and training. And the course takes about 1.5 to 2 hours, and it's right on the lake, a beautiful deck around the Harness House, and we got a beach. We built a beach on the course, and we're working on getting kayaks and canoes and making it an adventure center for families. And
you can feel the spirit of God when you're there, folks. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys have helped build this course, and what God's doing out there is just, it's amazing. So you're thinking about what can we do this spring? You know, what would be a fun adventure to go on? Believe me, this is a family fun park you will never forget. Easy enough to get to, right between Statesville and Hickory. Tickets are not expensive. I think the youth course is 25, is it, John?
Yes, it's 25 for youth. And the adult treetop challenge is 35, and the ultimate challenge is 49. And you know, when you do the comparison of other adventure centers, we wanted to make it affordable for families. And so, you know, just visit us and or contact us, like I said, and we'll be more than happy to serve you any way that we can.
And Gary, can you kind of share with our listeners what your ministry is, to go help churches? And how can they contact you? What's the best way for them to take advantage of what it is that you uniquely teach?
Sure. So we do everything from developing conferences or coming in and teaching to conferences that someone else has developed, to preaching on Sunday morning, to meeting with men's groups, to meeting with, you know, doing leadership trainings for small group leaders, and any variety of things that churches need. We really believe that in order to impact the environment of a church or a Christian educational institution, you have to approach it from a variety of areas, even in the youth area. So the best way of reaching out to us is through our website, loveandtruthnetwork.com. And, you know, my phone number is on there. They can email us. But our work really is in some of our favorite stuff to do is to work with leaders and leadership teams.
Yeah, because it's a sensitive issue, but it really, I have found in my own life that a lot of people, when they hear that you're Christian and those kind of things, they immediately assume hate.
Yes.
And so you've got a response that you're helping share to combat that, right, Gary?
Well, we do. I mean, but a number of years ago, it used to be that, you know, any kind of loving response from the church really touched the hearts of many people, particularly in the LGBT arena. Even handing out water at like a gay pride or parade or something, and just being there to have conversation and love on people, even though there was not agreement with behavior. Today, it's quite different from that. Typically, oftentimes there's a lot of frustration and anger. That if you're not wildly celebrating what I'm doing, then you don't love me. So but the church still has to really function in a way that is authentically loving, and authentic love does not deny the truth of Scripture or God's design for us. So it can be, I feel like churches that are doing that well are really walking on a razor's edge in this particular time of culture in the West.
Yeah. You can only do that with his help.
Yes, that's right.
God wired the world in such a way that we can't manage it without him, can we, John?
No, we certainly can't. And, you know, Gary, anytime you want to come here to Hickory, North Carolina, Connor, we have a standing invitation. We'd love you to speak to our students here, and we'll put you up and you can take the adventure course.
Well, we love speaking at Teen Challenge and connecting with the people that are involved there. So yeah, that sounds like a great invitation.
And next year, Pastor Harry, you maybe we can get him for the Seder. What do you think?
Yeah, Seder. That'd be good. It's a good connection. Everything is connected very well.
And I am just so excited to be out there again. We'll be at the bridge next Friday. My wife Tammy and I, and lots of friends. As we celebrate this event that really is just one of the highlights of my year, moving into, you know, the Holy Week like it always does, but then to have it on Good Friday is really special, isn't it, Pastor?
Absolutely. And this is a special year with April 1st being Resurrection Sunday.
Good Friday being the Passover. And I just got to give this one nugget, Robbie, you know, that we've got seven feasts that are talked about in Leviticus 23. He calls them the feasts of the Lord. They're his feasts to celebrate. And you can hear about these feasts and how they prophetically line up to the Passover, the slain lamb, and get to eat some good lamb. Amen?
Amen. I can hardly wait. And they have mint chili, too. I'll just add that in. Horseradish, plenty of that. Well, thank you all three so much. What a blessing to have you guys on with us today. You can find out all about all of them at kingdompursuits.com, the Treetop Adventure, or the Seder, or Gary Ingram's Love and Truth Network. Now, stay tuned. Speaking of networks, you're listening to the Truth Network, and you got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Thank you for listening.